And you are now entering the Big Daddy's podcast.
Well, what's fun about this is Lauren and Colin, you guys know Jacob briefly. Do you guys know each other at all or not at all?
We have mutual friends.
We've never met officially. So.
Okay.
I have met you.
Surprise me.
Okay, Kira and Hannah were living together.
Yes.
I was like there one day and Hannah had come back from a workout and I was just hanging out with Kira and I think you came in, but it was before you guys were married.
Yeah. Cause we got engaged when she was living with Kira. So that was almost 5 years ago, which is crazy.
Wow. So I think I remember seeing you, but you probably don't remember seeing me. That's okay. No,
well, I knew you two. I thought I knew you two more from Brooke, which is crazy.
Yes.
But Brooke and Kira, I think, know each other because of Hannah. So small world.
I know. It's so small. I love it. So
where are you now, Jacob?
North Carolina. So we moved to Raleigh. Yeah. So that's almost been a year, which is crazy. And then the baby's a year old now. I mean, so I feel like you all just a year later, which is, it's exciting for both of you.
I know. Time flies. It's crazy.
So when are you two due? Let's start that one off.
April 3rd.
Parents to be. It's coming.
So
flying.
So quick.
It is flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
do we know what we're having?
We're having a boy.
Boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boys. Boys all around. Let's go.
There's something in the Melbourne water, I think. There's something, so many boys.
I'll take it. Yeah. I love it. That's so good. Cool. You guys are due in April. Lauren, starting with you, I know you went to school for just some very cool things and you kind of got a little bit interrupted. You're kind of in this weird limbo of like, all right, I have this degree, but now I'm about to become a mom. So that's kind of halting me a little bit. Just kind of share, just about that dream and that passion and, kind of what's next for you with your baby and stuff.
Yeah. So I'm actually a board certified behavior analyst. So I was able to pass my boards. Hooray.
Good.
My plan honestly is I really love my job. I want to continue to work after having the baby. When that is, or when I plan to go back, I don't exactly know, but I do know that that's part of the plan. But I'm really passionate about behavior analysis. That's what my job is. And I'm working with toddlers. So that's really fun.
Yes. Yes.
Getting some good practice in there. So that's kind of like my age range that I'm really, I guess I'm just more familiar with, if that would make sense. But I'm just really excited to be a mom. I think it's really great timing. And I finished my degree, which was a big goal of mine. And Colin and I have really gone through that whole process together, to be honest. Like, he was a huge support. So stepping into this season is honestly kind of perfect timing. It's definitely God's timing.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm just super stoked.
Okay. Awesome. I'll put this out there up front. Normally me and Jacob are the most affirming people of all time.
Aww.
So we have to refrain from our affirmation because when you go back and listen to it later, it's horrible for the listener. So if we like, even with you just now, Lauren, I was giving you way too many. Yeah, that's sick. Awesome. So if we're like quiet, just know it's because like later it's not as cool.
Well, because normally most people won't see us just staring blankly at you. Like this video, like we see each other. So it'll be way more, I think, authentic sounding when you don't hear us hyping you up the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's very cool. So Colin, what do you do and what are you thinking about after the baby gets here?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who is your daddy? What does he do? What does he do?
What do I do? What did my dad do?
No, we're starting with you, bud.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So basically I'm a project manager for a software company. So I don't do any of the coding, but I just tell people when to deliver certain projects, like at what point and who to do it. So it's pretty stressful at times, but also pretty chill because I get to work from home. So, you know, I get to work in gym shorts and not have to worry about commuting and all that. So the great thing about it is I get 8 weeks off for paternity leave.
Oh, dang.
Which is pretty sweet.
Unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. I have like dreams of having the baby at the beach, like, like basically a long vacation. I don't know if that's going to be a reality.
Yeah. I mean, baby number one, I think there's, I mean, Jacob, what do you think? I think that it's hard in that paternity leave, but it's the best thing of your life.
I think one, you won't ever get that time back. Like everyone says, like for me, I got, what did I say, Jax? I got like 6 or 7 weeks. And mine was just by default because of moving and getting lucky. But I think as long as your baby starts sleeping better, you'll be like, oh, this is great. If you're not getting sleep, you'll be like, dude, these days, like, are we 4 days in? Are we 5 days in? It'll run together. And it'll hurt, but it'll be worth it. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At least you can suffer at the beach.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Sorry, Colin. So, Colin, what do you feel like is, and Lauren, do you guys feel like you have a strategy for sleep, or do you have nothing? Like, what wisdom have you guys received, like, in these first few weeks?
What do you think, Colin? Do you have a strategy?
You more so than me. I'm like, every time Lauren is like reading a book or has this, you know, she has a lot of friends who have had babies or who have who are going through it currently, pregnancy and just having kids. So she's getting a lot of wisdom from them. You know, usually the guy is seen as like, oh, we'll just go along with it and be supportive with whatever, you know, mom wants to do. And that's kind of been the same with the sleep. She's reading this book called Moms on Call. We want to start the sleep training.
Let's go.
We definitely need our sleep. We're both people who, when we don't get sleep, turn into not so positive and nice people.
Yeah.
So
we turn into monsters is what happens.
Yeah. So we want to prioritize that. Yeah. And get on that sleep training pretty early.
Okay. Yeah. No, me and Jacob are the biggest fans ever of sleep training. Yeah. But Lauren, what about you? What do you feel like, do you have a strategy? And of course, sleep training's coming, but like that doesn't start for a little bit. I think like, is that not till 5 months?
It was like 4 months, wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Or you can start early. Maybe you know something different, Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all going to depend on the baby, but, I definitely, you know, my thoughts are, I have read a little bit about like doing shifts, but I have questions, you know, regarding like, how does that work? If I'm the one who's breastfeeding, I think we would both likely be up if he's helping with something when we have to wake up, because we are waking up like just about every 2 hours. So, right. I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
You're so, correct. So I know that I've had a couple of friends who, you know, they were just exclusively breastfeeding. There was no bottles involved during those like very initial days, obviously. And like our, you know, the dad would get up and change the diaper and kind of take on that load. And then that way I don't have all the load. So that's kind of like my thought process. So I likely in the first couple of weeks, like we both probably won't get much sleep if we're tag teaming and helping each other out. But I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to kind of ask for help. I know a lot of our family members want to help too.
Heck yeah.
So that's important. And I know a lot of people have said like, take the help. You'll want it. Even if in the very first couple of days, you're like, wow, he's sleeping really great. He's doing wonderful. And then maybe in like 2 weeks, it's not so much the case. So, but I think we have a pretty, you know, good handle on maybe what it's going to be like and how we can take shifts, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, Jacob, and I asked for all of us, because I am probably going to have my second baby tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go.
Kind of hopefully initiating the process. So in with our first go around, as far as specifically with breastfeeding, there wasn't any breastfeeding because my son had to go to ICU. Oh, and no. it sucked, because I've probably said this on the podcast before, but my son, like day one out the womb, he like did a military crawl up to the breast and got on that thing. We were pumped. He's like, oh, best breastfeeder ever. And then unfortunately went to ICU, received bottles there. And he's like, I never want boobs again. I want bottles. And that's how it is. So with that, it was doing shifts worked crazy good for us, even though it kind of sucked not breastfeeding, of course, and having to pump and all that stuff for Brianna. The shifting worked for us. But Jacob, so technically you're the only one out of all of us that's been here before. How did that work? Like, I mean, what can you say for all of us? Because ideally I want Brianna and she wants to be able to breastfeed. Lauren and Colin want to be able to do that too. Like, what do you think, man?
Well, so I feel like for us, and it's crazy, even a year later, I already feel like you block out all the, not bad memories, but just the trauma of the lack of sleep. Oh, the amnesia is
real though.
Super real. But I know kind of Lauren already said this, but like, I think Hannah would feed, or I would get up and go grab him and I'd bring him to Hannah, or I would change him first and then I'd bring him to Hannah and she would feed. But there's definitely times where like I would just be passed out and wouldn't wake up. And something my aunt said that you all may have already heard if you've listened to an old one, but she was just like, cause she's a lactation consultant at Cape Canaveral. And she would say, just get your 8 hours. So it's like 24 hour period. If you slept 2 hours here and then another 3 hours here, like whenever you can get it in. But like you were already saying, the baby's got to be fed every 2 hours. So it's just a trial by fire. I think it's the best way.
Yeah. And that's where I was going with that, is like, that is like the one thing we learned. There's a really cool book called The Birth Partner. So Colin, you have between now and April to read that if you haven't checked it out already. And so it's exactly what Jacob said of, in 24 hours, aim for the 8 hours. Don't put any pressure on yourself to get it like in a row at all. Even if it's 1 hour segments, like, you know, you got, it's incredible, Colin, 8 weeks to like try to nail this down, but in a 24 hour time frame, get those 8 hours in if you can. Of course, not everything goes the way we
by any means necessary.
Yeah,
8 hours.
Exactly,
I like it.
Exactly. Had you guys heard that before?
No. I mean, we were listening to some podcasts on birth and like the getting your sleep, and they just said like make sure try to get some unbroken sleep. So try to get a full cycle, like where you go into REM sleep and you go all the way into your sleep cycle. So but that makes sense. Getting those, you know, 8 hours is important just for being there for the baby and for each other. Cause I know Lauren and I, if we get anything less than 6 hours, I mean, we're pretty much useless at work and for each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, like, you know, I somehow just dug in hard, like maybe 1 or 2 weeks in, and just said, I'm taking the night shift, because Bree's hormones, she didn't have the postpartum depression, but I can't remember the name of it. There's like a lower form. It's like just a step below it being postpartum depression. And Bree started getting that. And then once we got her sleeping regularly, she went back, her hormones were back, and it worked out better. So Colin, you might be the guy defending
the guy.
Looks, and Lauren, you won't know until you get there, you know? So
yeah.
I'm imagining me with those fake rubber, you know, boobs that you can fill with milk.
Yeah, dude.
Like
I'd be
willing to do that.
Dude.
I'd sleep to that level.
Oh my gosh.
If you do, I need a photo, or we need a photo.
Oh, there'll be photos.
Yeah. Do those even work?
We can't say we ever tried.
Yeah, I don't know. My hope is that we can, you know, take both. That would be like the dream. But you know what? I'm willing to let go of the dream if need be. But that would be like my hope, because I really want Colin to bond with him. And I think that's important to me too. So, and I definitely want to keep breastfeeding. I think that's really important. But it's like, if we could have the best of both worlds, I think that would be, I mean, that would obviously be ideal.
Of course.
If it comes down to it, when that comes, I'll send you my aunt's contact, because she was a huge help. Like a lot of our friends went and saw it, because all our friends had babies at the same time, and she's an expert for sure. So
perfect.
Like you're saying, get those, you know, those resources are huge.
Yes.
But anyway, so kind of doing a little pivot here. What did your all's dads do best, or anything along those lines?
Yeah. So. My dad, he was pretty busy most of my life. He was a medical device salesman and then went into marketing. And then he ended up like co-starting a medical device company in California. So he was on that startup life, like, you know, gone a lot of nights till 9, 10 PM, and then a lot of business trips too. So he was gone a lot, but what he did do well with the time that we had was he made a lot of like great moments where a lot of memories were made, like a lot of camping trips. He was in Boy Scouts with me for like 8 or 9 years. So he was like, the things we did together, he was fully in and fully present in and a full participant and like just an awesome dad in that fact. So I just have a ton of memories of him, just like camping with him, building things, just doing a lot of cool stuff with sailing. I just have like those memories will last forever of doing those cool things and him being there and teaching me that, even though he didn't have like the time for the day-to-day, like being home for dinner every night, like that wasn't there, but he made up for that with those cool memories and those cool things he did with me.
That's super cool.
Yeah. And my dad, well, my parents were divorced my whole life. So that's kind of the family dynamic that I had. So I would spend every other weekend with my dad and then holidays. But I still felt like our relationship, like I still knew my dad very well, and spent a lot of time with him. But I would say the best thing that came from my dad, I don't want to say like, I don't know, it's so hard talking about this sometimes because it's like you have good experiences and then you have bad. For me, I would say my dad married, he remarried when I was 6. And when he got remarried, we started going to church every Sunday religiously. And we would drive like 40 minutes to this church. And I just remember that's kind of where I truly believe like the foundation of my faith came from, was being just like Sunday mornings. They had like a Bible study that they would sometimes do on the weekends when I was there. So I got to see that a lot when I was with him. And that just kind of continued. I moved in with him in middle school and I was with him all throughout high school. And when I was with him in middle school, I started going to the youth group. And so people like you, Jackson, who were like youth group leaders, that was my kind of like my coming into my faith was through the leaders at our local church that we went to. And I would like leave my sporting events to go to youth group because I could not miss. I just loved it so much. So I really account him and my stepmom for introducing me to all of that and to Jesus. And so my faith really carried me through some really tough times in high school, even tough times in my relationship with my dad. So if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would be who I am today. So, yeah.
Were you one of Jackson's youth back in the day?
No. But I was just saying like people like Jackson who've gone into ministry and had a passion, like a huge passion. That was my youth group leader. His name was James. And he even to this day like has a huge influence on my brother and I, and that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of like my dad's, what's the word, my dad had a huge hand in that because he had to pick us up, he had to take us, he had to be in agreement to all of that. And so yeah, super cool.
Yeah, so we're going to ping pong back and forth. Like, I'm going to take a question and Jacob will take a question. So you guys feel free if you want to ping pong with us. Colin, you open up the first one. So Lauren, if you want to open with this next one, that's totally up to y'all. If you guys have a strategy of Colin's going first every time, super stick to that. But just know we're going to ping pong. If you guys want to ping pong as well, totally do it. But going out of order with the questions, I do want to ask, this is a hard one, but I think just so important. To ask and to reflect on. We don't want to dishonor here at all, but I am going to need to do things differently for Spencer. Me being an imperfect person, I'm simply going to wound my son, unfortunately. And I want to keep that minimal, but it's just simply going to happen. So we're all going to have room to grow. And I think it's good for us that wisdom is learning from other people's experiences. So that's why we asked this next question of what do you guys wish your dad did different?
Yeah, so part of when my dad was gone a lot or like at work and just not, always there in the day-to-day, that caused some issue, I think, like when I got into high school and got a computer, and I was like, I had a lot of privacy. We had 3 floors to our home, so like I could be downstairs just doing my own thing. And I think like a lot of the enablement and just like freedom I had, like with that, with the computer, you know, with the internet, just, or with video games, just basically wasted a lot of time that way and like got into some bad content on the internet. And I think that could have been avoided with just a little more discipline and a little bit more planning on my dad's side. I mean, the internet was still kind of new-ish, so you know, I can't really blame him fully for that. But I think what I want to do differently with our son is definitely like put a lot of thought into protection from that content, from like the world, like at an early age. So that's what I want to do differently, something that I wish maybe I didn't get exposed to early on, and something that maybe I can have control over with our son.
That's a really, really cool answer. Excellent answer. And I guess I say that because, you know, we've done season one, you know, we're on season two now. And so we're about 4 episodes into season two before all this comes out. And I think out of like our 13 interviews, I've never heard someone share that very practical thing, Colin. So really good answer. You know, there's this guy I like a lot named Ben Stewart, and he says, we need to be architects of our environment rather than victims of it. And you were just describing your environment of just like, I had access to ultimately, and I you know, struggle with addiction to this for 9 years, ultimately access to hardcore pornography in the middle of formation of our brains and our hearts, our minds, our souls, you know? And so chemically we are deformed through that. And so what a critical thing it is for us as parents to attempt to, what boundaries can I set? How can I keep my kids safe and protected? And it's not a matter of if they find it, it's when they find it because of the world we live in. So I think it's just gauging that and being on top of that. So I think that's really good for dads to hear, Colin. So thanks for sharing that, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's definitely a balance. Like you want to give your kids protection from all that, but, and then later in life, you'll be expected to join social media and like be on video games with their friends. So like, at what point do you allow them to join into that while also protecting them, you know, from the world like that? And so they're not seeing it as an outcast from not having access to that and not being a part of the group, but also, you know, just trying to know their best interests at heart. And just try to protect them as best you can. It's kind of a hard balance I foresee, especially in this day and age.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Let me rabbit trail. And for all you guys, you know, Jacob, Lauren, and Colin, and so, cause Lauren, I do want to ultimately get back to the question is, what do you wish your dad did differently? But before I get there, it makes me wonder of like, what do you guys think? Like, you know, our kids will be teenagers one day. And now kids receive their first cell phone, maybe at the age of 5 or 4 or 3. And I don't know like what the youngest kid I've ever seen with a cell phone, but, like, are you guys going to let your kid have a cell phone? And if so, will it be a smartphone? Like people think like I'm a psychotic and that's unrealistic of like, you have to give him a smartphone. You have to have him social media. But like, me and Brianna, we don't know where we're at with that. We're not sure. We're not there yet. So we don't have to make that decision. But like, what do you guys think like about social media for children and teens and even smartphones for that matter?
Yeah. My sister has 3 teenagers. One's graduating high school this year. And she has her youngest daughter is, I believe, 14 now. So my niece is 14. And she does not have social media. The boys do. They only have like sporting accounts, I guess, that they follow. And my brother-in-law also has Instagram, so he's able to kind of follow them as well. But I think there was a certain age that they were allowed to start downloading that social media. And I think Instagram was the only thing that they were allowed to have. And as far as my niece, I mean, she still doesn't have social media. I don't know what their plan is. But for me, I like kind of the way they went with it. They gave them phones to be able to connect with them and to be able to make sure that, you know, hey, you know, we can talk to them if we're going to be late or just like if something's coming up, like even if I was out, you know, hanging out with them, you know, they could text them and be like, hey, can you throw money here into this Chick-fil-A account so I can get a burger or something, you know, or not a burger because it's Chick-fil-A, but like just to stay connected. And I thought that was really good. Yeah. Another parent of mine, their kids are a lot younger here and they have the little watches that can only connect to them. So if they're going to be late picking them up, then they can let them know so they're not like freaking out. And I like that. I think the point of cell phones when we got them was so that we could stay connected to our parents if they were working. So
yeah, no, that's a great answer. Anthony Rick from Coastline. I believe you guys know him, are friends with him. Your associate pastor over there. He has his kids with the Gab Wireless, which I think is the cell phone watch that's like super safe. So you can see where your kid is at. They can text and they can call, but it's like, that's it, you know, and they can't lose it because it's on their wrist. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and Lauren, we're going to swing it back to you with this question about what we wish your dad did differently.
Shoot your story. Welcome back, everybody.
Well, you guys saw that the door opened in the first interview, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Did you guys see my face or no?
You looked a little surprised.
I was so just demonically angered at Brianna for a second. And like, poor thing had no idea. But I was just so shocked at like how wicked I can become in a second. It's like, oh man, I just wanted to go slash her tires and rebuke her. So, wow. Anyways,
you should see Lauren when I wake her up when she doesn't want to be woken up.
Oh, really?
Called
Let's
out.
Go, man. Ooh,
yeah.
Lauren, come on.
I am not happy. Like, I don't know. I'm not happy when I'm woken up out of my sleep.
Good thing you're going to love that baby.
You know what I think it is? I think it's my amygdala. Like, you know, when you sleep and the amygdala is the part of the brain that is. Well, it's when you're angry, your amygdala is firing. And I think that's what's happening when I'm sleeping. I just have like a fired up amygdala and then boom, you wake me up and I'm like, wah!
Have you seen Waterboy? Have you guys
that's
seen
Waterboy? Of course, of course.
The medulla oblongata.
Why is it now that you're so angry?
Yeah. Well done. That's a great, great action.
Love that.
Yeah. My, the words medulla, Lauren.
Medulla.
Oh no, no. Wait. What was the word you were using? Sorry.
It's amygdala.
Amygdala.
I should know that. I don't know. Maybe
I was a neurological nurse and I don't know at all. So, but we weren't in the weeds like that. But yeah, my medulla. Medulla?
No.
Amygdala.
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 It was all flared up at Brianna. And she's like 9 months pregnant, about to deliver a baby, and she made one mistake. And I was just like raging on her.
There's something going on with the guys too. I think your guys' hormones are like intertwined with ours. And I do think that there's some science to that.
I did hear something about that. Like, I was probably listening to some podcasts where these people who may or may not know what they're talking about still said that when a man's hormones fluctuate when a woman is going through pregnancy, and you're more likely to keep on fat. So the dad bod is actually a scientifically real thing, because we're apparently evolutionary, or like our bodies are trying to keep on fat and, you know, save resources so we can protect our offspring.
That's really selfless of us.
Very.
Oh man, it's so true. Like, I'm like, that's why I hate doing the video feed, because it looks like my face has been stung by a pack of bees. And yeah. No. I think the hormone is prolactin, that like that men generate prolactin when their wife is pregnant, because I think I heard the same thing. Was it Huberman that was saying that, Colin?
I don't know. It's probably some Joe Rogan. Okay. Guy.
It was
on
probably
there.
Joe Rogan. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. For sure. Oh man. All right. Well, anyways, yeah. So let's get back into it. So, Lauren. So, Lauren, you just were kind of sharing strategies that your family members do, and you know, just the I was concluding with what Anthony's family does with the Gab Wireless. But yeah, before we move it back to you, Lauren, Jacob and Colin, what do you guys think about social media and smartphones for our children?
So for me, I kind of felt what Colin was saying, a lot of like, you know, where do you protect your kid? Like what exposure is good, right? Because I don't want my kid to be a little outside weirdo that's sitting there and like not relating to kids because he doesn't know the recent trend with Fortnite or something silly like that. But then I wanted to find that right balance of that exposure, because we've been pretty limiting on his screen time, which I know you were big about, Jackson, with like Cocomelon and stuff. When we try to record that episode, you were like, all right, I'm gonna give him Cocomelon because maybe he'll chill out and let us record this episode. But we've been letting him start watching this thing called Miss Rachel. I don't know if any of you have heard about that.
Yes.
Yeah. Colin's like, no. But she's
supposed to be a better solution.
Alternative.
Yeah, yes. The alternative. Thank you.
Yeah, because she's on YouTube. And so she's like, I looked her up and she's a maybe behavior analyst. Is that what you said you were, Lauren? Right, yeah. Was that right?
She might be.
She did something with education, and then she has a music degree as well. So she does everything like really educational with sign language and like how to teach your kids. And so we'll put that on for him sometimes. And honestly, he kind of hates the screen. But we're trying to like expose him to things or doing at least something educational in the process. So that's kind of where we're at right now with it.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Hey, that's, you know, awesome. Better than I probably would, because you're educated. I'm just winging it every day.
Yeah. I think, you know, I've seen it a lot in my field with even using iPads as a form of like reinforcement when trying to teach them skills, and knowing that that is like a huge preferred item, but it can easily kind of get out of control if you're not careful. And so I, at the place that I work, I don't use the iPad for anything. And I think they only use it for things like when we're potty training. Like I know there's a client at our place that receives the iPad only when he successfully goes to the potty on the toilet. So and I think that can be beneficial if it's super preferred, but I definitely think limiting the time is really important, because then they don't develop those skills that they need to activate and like manipulate their environment. And that, we just don't really know what that's going to do later on. Like there's really no way to know what all this screen time is going to do. So
that makes me feel better though, because we don't ever hand him a lap, like an iPad or anything. He only ever sees it on our TV. So we'll just play YouTube from the TV, and then when we're done, we'll just turn it off, kind of thing. So that makes me feel good about it, because it's weird that he has never even played on our phone, but if he sees our phone sitting on the ground, he immediately walks over and picks it up and starts running around with it. And I'm like, you've never even played with this phone, and you know that you want to grab it. And it's kind of freaky.
He watches you, everything you do. He knows exactly, you know, so like you pick up your phone, even just like once, he wants to know what that is. So I think that's something to remember too, that, you know, he's watching every move you make, which I have, like, that's a huge challenge for me, because like we're on our phones all the time. So yeah, it's going to be a transition. If we want to teach him to limit that time, we have to limit our time too. So
probably sees the phone as like an enemy, like he's like battling for attention.
Yeah.
So he sees you, Jacob, with your phone. He's like, no, I needed that time. So he steals it and runs around. These kids are smart.
Well, it's crazy you say that, because that's something like you both kept talking about. It kind of made me think about being present more, and that's something I'm working on, because he's getting bigger right now. And there's this, Lauren, you've probably seen it definitely, where it's like this little kid, and they do an experiment where the mom won't smile at the baby. She just stares at the baby, and the baby starts crying and freaking out and like doing anything she can to get her mom's attention. And the mom just stares blankly ahead at her. And it's just talking about the effects of like the lack of emotion or lack of attention for the baby. And I've noticed that after watching Callahan get upset, we don't give him attention when he's eating or just playing. And so that's something we've been working on, like putting the phone down, being present, making sure we're giving him attention and not just wasting time doing who knows what else.
Yeah, Colin, actually, I'll give him the credit on that one. He sent me that video last week. So he saw that and was like, check this out. And I was like, wow, that's, yeah, I believe it. It's really sad, but it's good. I don't know. That's good to recognize, especially now, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a constant thing. I mean, what about you, Jackson? Did you notice that with Spencer, since he's three now? So, I mean, you've been through it longer.
Yeah, like I don't think he gets mad at me. And so I think that I just get really ashamed of myself, you know, when I am being distracted. So, I mean, me and Jacob, you know, we put in great boundaries with our phone, or excuse me, we put in strong boundaries with our phone because we suck so bad, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so one thing I learned from Jacob is just even with my own phone, of it's been black and white for well over a year now. Am I on 2 years now?
Oh, dude, you've been at least 2 years.
Yeah. So my phone lives in grayscale, which makes me look like a weirdo. But it's ineffective. I'm on this, it's the same amount. So instead my phone experience is miserable. But I probably will share on our Big Daddy social media just this thing that I was showing Nicholas Womble about how I can turn off all my apps on my phone in the settings under content restrictions. And that's been a great tool for me. Because yeah, like I don't see Spence getting bummed at me for it, but like you said, Lauren, he does see everything. They're going to pick it up, and I don't want him to see that as a norm. So I'm trying to have good boundaries myself. And something Chad Veach said, this guy I look up to from Zoe Church, he just says, we need to be wherever our feet are. And which is kind of like the overriding principle I'm hearing all you guys say about just presence, things like that, is where our feet are, we need to be there. So, yeah, I think that's a really good principle. Colin. Yeah. Like, what do you think, man? Are you going to like, you know, like, of course, with what you went through, you're saying about having access to the computer, but same principle, I'm assuming, you know, with the phone. Like,
yeah.
What do you think? Is it going to be like you're getting a flip phone until you're 18? Where are you at?
You remember those, Firefly phones?
They yes. have
like four numbers. That's what I want to do. I think the watch idea, like what our neighbors do, is a really good idea. Like being able to, you know, see the location, because we're not in the age where like we just rely, you know, or we tell our kids be at this time or be at this place at this time and just expect them to be there. Like, I think we're past that age. So I want to definitely like keep track on where they are and have the ability to contact us and maybe a friend or two, you know, at that age. I think I got a cell phone at like eighth grade. I went on my first tennis sports camp, like summer camps. And I got a phone that had like a couple numbers in it. And I tried texting, and my parents got a phone bill the next month and were super mad. It was like $30. So I had to pay that off by mowing the lawn. But yeah, I definitely think it's crucial to just protect them as much as you can from, like, I can't imagine my eighth grade self having full access to Instagram and just seeing that flood of content, like of reels and just like what a lot of accounts are doing to just like attract you in and just suck you in as long as possible. That's just like, I see it as detrimental to myself sometimes. If I'm ever like, you know, after work, I can let like 20 minutes but go by and it feels like nothing of just like wasted time. And yeah, so I want to be able to put restrictions in, but also like what you said, Jacob, not let my kid be an outcast and, you know, let those friendships develop with the aid of technology, but also I want to be involved with what they're seeing and be able to have control of that. So I'm glad a lot of the technology these days has really good parental controls like that. Where you said, Jackson, to be able to remove all the applications. You can see screen time, you can see, you know, restrict, I don't know if you can restrict certain content on certain apps, like my sister-in-law is doing, Lauren's sister, with her kids, like being only being able to see sports apps or sports accounts. That seems like a really cool idea because they're fueling their passion and, you know, using social media in that way, but they're also being protected from everything else and some of the negative sides of it. So that's kind of where I'm at. We'll probably adjust and see where it goes. But Lauren and I think are on the same page.
Yeah, I think that's most important anyway. So that's perfect.
So finally getting back to it, Lauren, what do you feel like you wish your dad did different?
Yeah. A lot of this is kind of going to come from like my teenage years, because I definitely think that those were the most pivotal years of my life, and where obviously you just see the most ups and downs. But I really think that I wish my dad listened more to me. And what I mean by that is definitely this idea of like active listening and hearing what I am saying. For instance, you know, regarding just like, I was advocating for myself. I was having a lot of hormonal changes. I knew something was weird, something was off. And I knew that I wasn't okay. And I really wanted to talk to somebody about it, a woman, maybe a psychologist, somebody that I could relate to. And I was very clear in asking him to set up a meeting or to try to find somebody for me. And at that point, I didn't know how to do that. Like I think I was probably like 14 or 15. And that was, I think, something that he didn't really see as a need for me. And I think even for himself, and I think a little bit of pride got in the way there, like, well, my kid doesn't need that, or something along the lines of that. And so that's just one example. But I definitely think that if I would have had him listening to me a little bit more and hearing even just what I was saying in between, like reading between the lines during, you know, we had a lot of arguments. We had a lot of, just a lot of clashing at times during that teenage years. And I think a lot of that was me just wanting and needing something from him that I wasn't getting, that I didn't know how to communicate. So definitely listening more and kind of seeing like, okay, asking for help was the big thing. I think him asking others for help was, and I could tell when he wasn't asking others for help or seeking the advice of other people. Like, I don't know what to do here. And kind of acting like, I already know what to do. He has, I have three other sisters that he didn't spend a ton of time with during their teenage years. But I think he had that in his mind, like, oh, I have three girls. I kind of already know, I know what's going on. And you don't necessarily know what's going on. And as a dad, I think it's super important to just be there and be willing to hear the hard things and teach your kids that they can come to you. And that no matter what they say, whatever they're doing, that you're not going to come in with like, I don't know, like a hatchet or, you know what I mean? That like you're going to be there loving them no matter what, and wanting the best for them and working with them to help them through whatever it is that they're going through. So that's kind of what I take from that and learn from that. I'd really like to, as a mom, I really want to be able to actively listen, and I'm working on that myself. It's a very difficult skill. I think part of it is asking good questions and questions that are loving, but also creating the environment that's like, you're allowed to be who you want to be in that space. Like if you need to be this way, that's okay. Your feelings are valid. But definitely being able to hear my son and, you know, whatever else we have, boy or girl, and know that he can come to me for anything. I want that so badly with my kids. So yeah.
I'm so challenged by that, Lauren. So thank you just for sharing that. Yeah, I think that you gave us one hint of practicality with being a good active listener. It includes good clarification and question asking and things like that. I think that's so, so good, so strong. What would you say in regards to, you know, we live in a culture and time where we feel pressure to validate every single feeling someone has, and feelings are a gift, but, there's this lady we like a lot named Lisa Terkers, and she says that feelings are indicators and not dictators. So Lauren, I feel like you came from a place of, you just didn't feel heard. You didn't feel like you're not really listening to me. And that's kind of such a generational thing too. I think that we are prayerfully, we have the knowledge of it. Hopefully we actually put it into practice, but yeah. How do you separate that of being a good listener, asking good questions, but not feeling pressure? I don't need to validate every single feeling my child has, because some of those feelings might be untrue. Like what's the balance we have for that? Because we don't want to go the other side of that either, of like disregarding everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I have the full answer to that, but I do know that some of the feelings that we want validated the most are those that when we're really heightened and we're really, especially females, for myself, I can speak, like, I really want to be validated and heard. Like when I'm, I don't know, angry or upset or emotional in some way. But what I've learned is that it's really important to come down from that. Those things are still going to be there, whatever it was that angered you or was upset with your kiddo, or even in marriage, like all of those things are still going to exist, but coming back and saying, hey, I want to talk about this, or just, you know, let's talk about what happened. And can you explain to me, you know, now that we're kind of calmed down, or that we're, you know, what's going on, or I feel like this is maybe what I was hearing you say. And rather than, you know, taking every single in the moment, like I've seen that too, where it's like, the kid is like crazy, like monster time. And you're like, I can see you're feeling angry. It's like, okay, we got to at least just like calm down. Cause at that point, even as adults, like definitely kids, but even as adults, like we are not processing anything that anybody is saying. We're just like in rampage mode. And I see it a lot with toddlers. And I do see some of my friends doing that with their toddlers. And every parenting style is going to be different for every kiddo. But that I think is really important, is coming back and not ignoring what happened, or not ignoring the feelings that they might've been feeling. And doing it in a way that's loving and respectful and calm, because you're going to teach them how to address issues with other people in the future. And it's like, okay, we're allowed to be angry, you're allowed to be upset and cry, like that's okay. And even just you letting them do that is you telling them like, hey, it's valid to do this, to say like, you shouldn't be angry, is like, well, where you are, so what am I supposed to do? Or, you know, but coming back and being like, hey, you know, I know you're angry that you wanted the cookie. And I understand that, but we have to eat dinner first or whatever. And then I love you, and we'll get the cookie after dinner if we eat, you know, all of our food or whatever. That's the way you want to parent your eating stuff. But I think definitely kids can't reason, and even adults at times can't reason when they're upset. So wow. I think that's a big one.
Y'all have definitely given this some thought. Well, I mean, Colin, I think so too. You're married to Lauren. So, but after I just listened to you two talk, I'm already picking stuff up, and I'm a year ahead of you. So I'm like, this is great stuff for me.
Hey, I still have to put a lot of it into practice. So I know it and I can say it, but I'm still a human being too. So don't get too down on yourself.
But we're hitting that taller stage, so it's getting real. I'm like, he's getting crazy.
What are you just really ticked off about right now? I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. That's good. Jacob, drive the next part, bro.
All right. Well, I was looking at the questions a little bit, and one I kind of want to hear what both of you had to say is, what are you most excited about becoming a father and a mother? Like, what's pumping you up the most, or what are you most looking forward to? And it doesn't have to be like within the first year of life. This could be further down the road.
I'm super pumped to like see those moments of like awe and wonder in my kid's life. Like, I think about those like first Christmas mornings, like, you know, hearing that gift that they really want and been talking about all year, and then them coming down and just like seeing that and sharing in the joy that they have. I'm really excited to be outdoors and like go fishing with my son and like experience his first fish, and just like all those first moments where they're just like super pumped about the world and don't know anything different except from like newness, joy, and beauty. And I just like can't wait for those moments and experiencing those, you know, those moments of just realization and like wonder about the world. So with that, I just want to be like present in each of those moments. So I'm gonna need to be intentional about being there for those moments and spending that time. So that's what I'm most excited about.
It's awesome.
Yeah. To be honest, Jacob, I'm kind of like a season by season person. So I think I definitely think ahead a lot, but then to ask myself, like, what am I most excited about at this time? Like, I'm really excited to just be a first time mom. I guess I don't know anything about infants. I mean, I know what I've read, but like, I think that's what I'm most excited about and / terrified about is that I get to be the sole provider, or at least not provider, but like, I'm going to have to keep an infant alive. And like that, it's like super exciting, challenging. I don't know. So that's kind of where my brain is at. I haven't really allowed myself to kind of expand, at least at this point, just because I'm so honed in on birth and that whole first couple of months. And then I think once I'm there and I'm kind of like out of the woods a little bit, I definitely think I'm going to be able to kind of figure out what the next stage. I know I'm just going to be excited about all the stages of being a mother. But definitely that first part, I'm just really stoked to see how I do and to learn about myself and Colin, and I don't know, there's just going to be so many new things we're learning. I'm just excited to learn. Yeah.
I think that's well said though. It's like, it's interesting to hear both of your perspectives, because for us, I mean, looking back now, a year's already gone by, which I honestly can't wrap my head around it, because I know when we first brought him home and then moved up to North Carolina when he was 5 weeks old, it's like, those first few months, I thought they would never end. I was like, this is the longest nights. And it was hard for me, but I can't imagine how hard it was for Hannah, because she wasn't sleeping any more than I was with the breastfeeding throughout the night. And so it's like, it kind of like you said, the season by season, I feel like that's how it was for us. And now that we finally made it to this year mark, I was like, wow, now I'm really enjoying him more than I had been or thought I even could. But in that, and how hard, and maybe Jackson, you can relate to this too, but like, I couldn't even look past the week because it was so long. So it's cool to hear both of your perspectives of like, Colin, you had a joyful perspective on it, which is awesome, because I mean, I hope it's easy for you all with the sleep and all, because I think that's a great outlook you have. Jackson, what about you with all that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's all about, we have an expression on Big Daddies. It's the addy of the daddy,
yeah.
You know, or for you, Lauren, the addy of the mommy. Right. So it's all about attitude. It's yeah. going to, and I know that's rah, rah, rah. And, you know, but we do have the power to choose our attitude, I think. And if I believe that, it's gonna suck so bad, you know, for sure. But we like, there's no getting around that, but we do get to choose our attitude towards it. And everyone's pain is different. So we don't need to compare pain, but
yeah. It's the greatest thing. You're gonna love it.
Jackson, you said it's gonna suck, like, but I heard someone say it's only gonna suck and then it's gonna be over. It's gonna suck for that first 2 months, year. And then when you look back on it, you're gonna miss that time too, because you never get it back.
Yeah.
So the attitude thing is huge, because if you choose to just be like, enjoy that moment, even if you're without sleep, getting puked on, dealing with the poopy diapers, you know, multiple times a day, know that you're never gonna get that time back. So just enjoy it and roll with it.
Yeah.
So something, I was gonna say real quick, Jackson, something Anthony would always say, Anthony Rick, he was like, you never know when the last time you're going to change that poopy diaper, or the last time your kid's going to throw up on you, or the last time he's going to cuddle up with you. And so now that we've hit this year mark for us, it's like, we look back through all our photos and it's like, man, I wish he was that small still. And as, like you said, as hard as it was, it went by way too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't think it sucked in the heat of the hard times. I'm telling you, it's going to suck just because I'm trying to guard your heart. But like, I loved every second of it. I didn't think it was that hard, but I can say that with, my son was really healthy, and there's like, so I had a lot of grace in that too. So I think it's just different for everyone. Cause there's health complications, you know, I think it's a way, way, way different story. And, you know, my next son's going to be born tomorrow, and, you know, his limbs are measuring short, you know, his torso is normal and his limbs are short. And, I'm praying that, you know, I'm praying that he's 6 foot and got normal legs, normal arms, you know, but if not, like, God's still faithful, and we're still going to fight for a good attitude. So I think he's going to be born tomorrow, and we're going to be like, oh, well, he looks pretty normal, you know, but like I said, but if not, that's okay too. So, good stuff. Jacob, anything else on that one, man? You feel good about that?
I feel good about it. Y'all crushed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Cool. So this is a very unique question, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but we like keeping it vague. So if you need clarity from us, we'll bring it, but we'd like to just keep it open-ended. And who on your team can always lift your spirits?
What do you think?
It doesn't have to be each other either.
I was thinking about this one, and yeah, I got to bring it to my wife for that one. I got to land on Lauren. Yeah. She is a person who, no matter like what issue I'm going with, even if I can't communicate that issue, that seems to be a common trend with me. It's like, oh, there's something wrong, but like, I don't know what. She can like see through it, and she's super observant over like just what I'm going through, and sometimes can even put what I'm going through in her words, and it's exactly like what it is. And no, she like knows what to say, how to encourage, how to challenge. She's just like an oracle of truth at times. So she, because of that, she knows how to point me in the right direction, and just like challenge me when I'm lagging behind. So I appreciate that so much, and thank God that she put her in my corner, to be my better half.
Good answer.
Sorry to be cliche on that one.
Do you ever get sick of her analyzing your behavior though?
Big time.
Yeah. You're like, don't you dare freaking analyze me.
Sometimes I don't want to know the truth of like why I'm feeling this way. Like, just let me be frustrated and annoyed and like be confused with my feelings. Like, don't point it out. But yeah. somehow she always comes around and points out the truth.
Behavior analyst, man. She's got you.
Yeah, she's a true psychologist.
All right. So Lauren, if you don't say Colin, you're in the doghouse. No, I'm just kidding. No pressure. And it's unique because you know, this is the Big Daddy's podcast. So you are technically the third lady to ever sit on the throne. So it kind of puts you in a weird spot, because normally, Colin, you would throw that down and then we move on. But Lauren, we want to hear your thoughts. Who on your team can always lift your spirits?
Yeah. Colin lifts my spirits. So I don't want to say that he does not lift my spirits. But I would say my very best friend, my maid of honor, Nina, she's just like always pointing me in the right direction, kind of like what Colin was saying. And if I'm upset or I'm sad, like, she just knows, I don't know, she definitely just knows what to say, but she knows who I am. She knows my relationship with Jesus very well. And she's not afraid to, I don't know, to challenge me in that and say, well, you know, point me to some resources or point me to, you know, there was a time where we were trying to figure out where we wanted to go to church, and I would talk to her a little bit about that. And that's a very important thing to her. And I remember, you know, like when she moves to new places and whatnot, and I remember talking to her about that, and she just the things that she would say kind of pointed me to the church that we are attending now, and even utilizing some of the resources that they have. And so, I don't know, she's been my best friend since high school, and we've come into our faith together. So now she's starting seminary. So I'm like, she's just a really great person. And she loves Colin so much too. Like, she's just like our, I don't know, she's just great. She just was just here too. So, but yeah, love her.
Yeah, I love how you just like mentioned in passing that she loves Colin. And I think that is that true? Colin, do you believe that or no? I feel like you laughed a little
bit.
Yeah,
we're homies.
Okay, yeah. That's so dope. Because like, what's sick about that is I feel like I would bet that, Colin, you feel comfortable with Lauren talking to Nina about hard things that might even be personal to you. Is that fair? Is she like released to like be kind of vulnerable with Nina in a way?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she's got really, really solid girls on her side. And she's, when we've had issues, she's shared that with them, and they've been able to like give her resources, point her in the direction of resources.
Yeah.
So, I'm super grateful for her and her life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I asked that from like, not a male chauvinistic way of like, Colin's the only one that can decide who you talk to, but even Lauren, you like with the people that Colin talks to, there's things that I believe that as married people, and Jacob, you too, like, we should be allowed to like talk to people about stuff, but not anybody, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like Lauren, there might be a dude I'm comfortable with you going there with him and about stuff we need to talk about, but there might be another dude who like, look, I'm not comfortable with you going there with that person. So that's a mutual thing that me and Brianna had to learn, is like, she opened up some things to somebody that were really personal, and it wasn't the content of the conversation. It was who that person that she went to is like, that's actually not a trustworthy person, unfortunately. And it did come back, like she talked to her husband about it, and then it got out, and it was weird, you know? So that's why I think that's cool, Lauren, that you mentioned Nina, and that Colin, like you said, you're homie. So I feel like people don't realize like there has to be trust there for all parties involved. I think, you know, for our deepest people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know how already 40 minutes went by again, but I was like looking at 2.5 minutes left, but I wanted to dive into the legacy question.
Yeah, you're cold, man. What do you think? Do we got time or?
Part of me saying like, I want to hear maybe Lauren and Colin some closing thoughts, but then we might have to run it back once the baby's here. Like,
that's confirmation. Yes. I was thinking the same thing, dude. That's it, bro.
All right. Because your baby's here tomorrow. Their baby will be here in April. Yeah. Once they're like a few months in and you see them with raccoon eyes, you know,
I won't be looking like this.
you both look great, but any closing thoughts on your end? I mean, you got 2 minutes, like we can run this back later once the baby's here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just really excited and we're really thankful. I think we're happy that God's brought us into this community, back to Melbourne. It was a huge prayer. The journey to get here is a story for another time, but definitely a testimony to God's faithfulness and his plan, as difficult sometimes as that can look on the other side. That's where we are now. And we're just really hopeful and excited to be here. So
yeah, agreed, and super thankful for guys like you like hosting this type of platform with this content. There's a lot of podcasts out there with a lot of different messages and purposes, but I think there needs to be more content like this, just real conversations of people in this type of season, whether it's pre-kids, post-kids, just going through it and learning from one another, and just, you know, being brothers and sisters in Christ through it all and sharing like what God has done, what he's walked us through. And, you know, just like the fervor that gives us from hearing these stories of going through hard times or joyful times. It's just encouraging, I think, to hear those stories, and super appreciative for you guys bringing us on.
Dude, our pleasure. Thanks for both of y'all coming on. It's an honor.
Thank you, man.
There it is.
All right, everybody.
Guys. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you.